Welcome to another episode of the Rational Face Podcast, everybody. The best podcast on the Blobbernackle.
The Blabbernackle.
Blabbernackle. I am Brian Dillman.
And I am Brian Kissel.
And today we have a super interesting episode. Before we start, Brian, have you heard of the term navel gazing?
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do. I don't.
Just define what navel gazing means and the popular definition of navel gazing.
Well, the popular version is kind of like where you're just this like focus on yourself. You are kind of like a selfish. Hey, we're just gonna look right here. We're gonna kind of talk about how awesome and amazing we are. If we wanted to be nicer, we could talk about just being introspective and evaluating how we can improve. And so I kind of think of those kind of things when I think of navel gazing, but mostly the guys bragging about themselves.
And that is exactly what the episode is today. Talking about how awesome we are. Awesome. No, I was, as I've come into this world of online Mormonism, and I started out with the podcast, so I kind of got to know Dan Weatherspoon and John DeLynn through listening to their podcasts. And, you know, then they would interview other people that I had heard of, like they interviewed Mike Barker on the A Thoughtful Faith podcast, and all these other figures. You get to know their voice and kind of feel their personality a little bit more. So I thought, let's get to know more of the Rational Faith folks, and which we've done on the podcast already. But where did this blog come from? Why did it start? We have Mike and Paul on to talk about the origins of the blog, and also Leah, Lori, and Thomas. Leah Silverman, Lori Berkman, and Thomas Hatton on to talk about as they've read the blog, and then as they entered as a permablogger, you know, how did they see it? How did it change? Where's the blog going to go in the future? What kind of focus is it going to have? So that is the sort of discussion that we have.
Well, that's really exciting to be able to hear. Hopefully we'll be able to hear the amazing stories of the inception of the incredible Rational Faith's blog.
You know, the funniest part of having a bunch of crazy people on, like Rational Faith bloggers, is you hear these stories that you didn't know about. Like one is when Mike was proposing to his wife Kathy, for some reason he ended up storing the wedding ring or the engagement ring in Leah's sister's underwear drawer for some unspecified amount of time. And so and also you get you know, this Keeping Mormonism Weird thing, and that's on the Rational Faith top of the blog. Nobody knew where that came from, and so Mike and Paul finally offer up their definition of what Keeping Mormonism Weird is. And so
we always need the authoritative statements of
let's
define it. Yes.
So. Yeah. If we need to define it. And so, you know, that's something to look forward to in the discussion, is these funny stories and other little things that are unique to Rational Faith.
That sounds fantastic. Let's go ahead and jump into that.
Okay, we have a party podcast, everybody. Party podcast with lots of people here. Let's go through and introduce everyone really quick. We've got Leah Silverman. And Leah, say hello and tell us your favorite color and why.
My favorite color is... Oh, sorry, hello. And my favorite color is sunlight. It is a legitimate crayon in the box.
Excellent. Paul is here. Paul, say hello.
Yo.
Favorite color?
Orange and black. Go Giants.
You have to pick one.
F you.
Thomas Hatton. Say the hello word and favorite color.
Hello. My favorite color is black. My soul is black. My heart is black.
Okay, Lori.
Hi, Lori Berkman. Favorite color would be probably red.
And Mike.
Hello, I am Mike Barker, and my favorite color is a light beige.
A light beige?
Yes.
Hmm.
You're supposed to say light tan.
Oh, is it light tan? Did I F that one up?
Be politically correct, dude.
Well, light tan. He was trying to quote Nacho Libre, and he totally messed it up.
I'm Brian Dillman. My favorite color is green, forest green. Make of that what you will. Got a pack of bloggers here. And Laurel is here breathing in the background. I don't know what her favorite color is, and she won't share. But let's first talk about where this blog came from. Everyone here is a perma-blogger. Mike, Paul, why don't you give us a little bit of a story of where the blog came from? Why did you guys even start it?
I think Mike used to send me emails of lessons that were going to happen the Sunday before, and it was the New Testament that we were studying, and they were really good detailed notes of, they gave the good context to what was going to be studied that Sunday, and I was like, hey, these are really good notes, we should, you know, publish something, get a blog going or something like that using on Mike's notes and on lessons and things like that. And I think Mike tried to do that for the first year every Sunday, and then it got too complicated. I think Doctrine and Covenants came around and it just got too crazy. But that's the story. John, our other brother, wanted to he kind of was pushing Mike too to do it, and so I went and we bought the domain name and we just started doing it, you know.
How long ago?
I don't know. How long ago was that, Mike?
I don't freaking know, dude. I was going to go
New Testament. They're doing it again right now. They just started New Testament. So would that make it 4 years ago or?
So, well, no, because the blogs I was doing, the Sunday blogs were actually Book of Mormon. So I was writing.
So three years ago.
No. But when I first started talking to you about it, I remember it was Corinthians because you were talking about like the water and whatever.
Yeah, but that was the email you said.
That was the email going back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's when
it was actually Doctrine and Covenants. I was there.
He was there. There you go. Anyway, so that's when we started thinking about it.
So it was
like
a Sunday school thing to start out, like correcting Sunday school.
Yeah, kind of a deeper meaning, getting more context out of it, you know, as far as scripture goes, than the same things, you know, with the same answers that sometimes you get at a gospel doctrine.
Yeah. So were you hoping initially to change the world, or what, were you just throwing it out there in case, you know, a third cousin came along and found you and said, oh, that's kind of neat. You know, what kind of goal, did you have any goal in mind or what?
I don't think so. I just thought that his notes were useful and that other people can use them. And so it was totally piggybacking off of Mike. Study habits of the scriptures, and so that's kind of how it started.
I have to say that I read them every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they first started, I read them every week.
So proof in the pudding of usefulness, right there.
Yeah,
that is.
That's cool.
That is proof.
So Leo was a early adopter, yeah, or early reader.
Interesting.
And Mike did put a lot of time into that. I mean, it was something that he, you know, he would do once a week, and it was really time-consuming for him. But then Doctrine and Covenants just kind of threw him under the bus because that was just way too hard because they jumped around so much, and they were just picking and pulling from scriptures, and it really just didn't make any sense to do something like that. And I think that's the time when Jared Anderson started up his podcast to kind of around that point where then we're just like, oh, let him do that weekly thing.
I'm not sure if I ever did the New Testament ones online. I don't think I did, but I did it with the Book of Mormon. And what I was doing is I was using Hardy's Hardy's book, and then I was taking stuff from there and then incorporating it into the Book of Mormon lessons. And so I was publishing those weekly. But yeah, the Doctrine and Covenants is so effed up how they hop around, and it's just the worst. And it was just too much. I bought like five books. I had spent like $200 on books, and I was planning on doing it again, but it was just so jacked up. I ditched the idea.
I think you did two, and that was.
So is that where you shifted from doing basically a Sunday school blog to whatever topic you felt like?
Yeah, well, even before that, I think our first blog post was actually about City Creek.
Yeah. I think I've looked back at that one.
Yeah,
before.
I actually think it was City Creek. I'm actually trying to find it.
Yeah, well, that was the first kind of big one that kind of hit. I think KSL did a report of the stores that were going to be in City Creek, and Abercrombie and Fitch, bro, was listed as one of the stores. And I texted Mike during church. I'm like, bro, dude, they're going to have Abercrombie and Fitch in there. And, and you got all freaking just pissed off. And you're like, that's it. I'm not paying my tithing anymore. And I was like, all right, let's like sign a petition or something. Let's get something going. And so we like wrote a letter to the developers of City Creek, and we're like, hey, is Abercrombie really going to be in the mall? And I think the reply was that news report wasn't accurate or something like that. I was like, how is that? The church owns the building and the church owns KSL. I mean, can they, who messed up there? It was just kind of funny anyway. So that was we did like three posts on that, like the responses we got from the development company that was doing that.
So anyway, I was searching around while you guys were talking about Doctrine and Covenants or this or that is that. And it does look like October of 2012 is as far back as I can find anything. And that was about City Creek. And then Michael came in with Pillars of Faith, like kind of his Why I Stay type of thing. And it looks like that's kind of how it kicked off from anything I can see online.
That sounds accurate.
And now we're up to 900 posts, right? Didn't we hit that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
900? Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Holy freaking crap. Yeah. So, that's what's with City Creek, we actually were emailing people that we knew and saying, hey, call the developer. And so we had people harassing them and stuff about it, because that kind of freaking pissed me off to no end, man. All right. Anyways.
but you're okay with that now. You've moved on, right?
Yeah, but City Creek sucks. They can suck it, man.
I think you're the only person that it bothers, though, Mike. I haven't heard that from anyone else. Everyone else is excited about it.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, okay. So you didn't like City Creek.
He's just so touchy.
Yeah.
When did you start letting non-barkers? Gosh, I'm good with names. When did you have non-barkers write on the blog? Like, when did it go, maybe we could have a bunch of other crazy people write on here?
I think what happened was I was, so Paul introduces me to these Facebook communities, and then I learned about Feminist Mormon Housewives. And so I just posted a question on there, go, hey, so what about this, when they talk about Heavenly Mother, they say, like, we can't talk about her because she's so sacred. I wanted an honest response, and man, there are, all these super bright, well thought out answers, and I was going through them. I'm like, oh, these are some good answers. And so I started, some of them I'd pick out and I'd Facebook message them. I go, hey, I really like your answer. My brother and I run this blog. Would you mind turning this into a post for us? And that's how it kind of got started. And then that's how Melody came into it, and how Heidi Doggett came into it. And I think Emmett came into it because she had just written a small blurb about people with faith crises and having to leave Mormonism, and she growing up Catholic and having become Mormon, how that was difficult. And so I asked her to write about that. And then Paul and I had the idea, hey, we could, maybe they would write all the time for us. And so we asked Melody and Emmett and Heidi Doggett all to like write twice a month is initially how they started doing it. And then that's how the permablogger part started.
So we are Barker Brothers and MoFem.
Word up!
Yeah, I remember getting an email from, or not an email, a Facebook message. I think it was either Mike or Paul or both of you added, because you guys had found one of my old Facebook groups about coming to terms with the horribleness of church art or something like that.
Church mullet from mullets. You had mullets.
Oh, yeah, the abundance of mullets in church art. That's what it was.
This is Thomas Hatton speaking.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
I should always introduce myself. I always do anytime I talk. You know, sometimes people just stop listening and they fall asleep or forget who I am.
Thomas Hatton here. Thomas Hatton here, giving his opinion on art.
Yeah,
no,
we found...
It kind of took me by surprise. A little bit of flattery, a little bit of something else that I won't say, but either way, I wrote the blog post, and then I got asked to be a perma, so it seems like that's the pattern.
Your last blog post was about Mormon art, so there you go.
Line upon line.
Yeah, you take these small and simple people and turn them into... You know, it sounds like somebody else I've heard of.
The weak thing. Take the weak things of the earth.
Exactly. Couldn't find a weaker vessel.
Well, I can remember. Now, I found the Mormon and mullets. I'm not sure. I think I just typed in Mormon in the search thing for Facebook, and I found Mormon with mullets. I'm like, this stuff's freaking funny. And that's how I found you. But I can remember reading your first blog post and just cracking up. And we were in Park City for a family reunion, and I'm passing my iPhone around to my brother and sister-in-law, and they're just crying so hard with that first art one you did. It was freaking funny, man.
Yeah, it's all been downhill from there, but I digress.
No, the pinnacle was the captain noticing Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock.
Oh my gosh, funniest thing. Yeah. I'm not going to read it right now because I will piss myself. But I was like, what is this? Like, somebody's got, like, a Star Trek thing for this, because it totally, totally just lines up with that, yeah.
So when did you start, Thomas? Do you have the date?
It was May 2013, maybe. May.
So Lori was just before that, right?
No, I'm newer than that.
Okay,
February.
Leah.
Yeah, I was December 2012.
Ooh, she's the oldest.
Yeah.
Oldest non-Barker. How did they find you, Leah?
Well, Mike was good friends with my sister at Rick's. And that is actually how I discovered Rational Faith, because my sister was, you know, sending me the post saying, like, you're going to like this. You should read this. And then it was actually, my first post was about pants day in 2012, and I had written it for my own blog, and then my sister sent it to Mike and said, you know, you should post this, and they did, and that was, and then I guess I did one other one, and then they asked me to be a perma, and that was that.
Yeah, we always test you guys out. Now Leah's sister, we were family home evening brothers and sisters at Rick's, and here's a true story. So I had asked Kathy, I had actually bought my wife's name is Kathy. I had bought Kathy a wedding engagement ring, and then I asked her to marry me, and she said no. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I had the wedding ring, but I didn't want to think about it, so I gave it to Leah's sister, Camille, and Leah kept it in her underwear drawer for me for a few months until I grew a pair and asked Kathy to marry me again. And so I was going to ask her to marry me on Valentine's Day again, and she could tell I was coming, and she's like, Mike, don't ask yet. I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't ask.
Then did you say, tell me when?
Exactly.
Tell me what to
and
do.
So I finally, when I did propose, and so finally I got the ring from Camille's underwear drawer, and then I proposed to my wife. I think it was like the Saturday before Easter on a conference Sunday at her parents' house, and then she said yes, and
what's funny, you told Kathy to go get the ring out of Camille's underwear drawer when she was ready.
I know.
We go get that now.
What's funny about that story to me is that I got the version from my sister in real time. You know, like, my sister and I are really close, and we tell each other everything. And so I knew that there was this guy that had given her a ring that she was keeping in her underwear drawer. And then fast forward to years later, and I had been blogging with Rational Faith for like a year, when Camille's just like, oh, yeah, Mike was that guy. And I'm like, oh, now we've come full circle. Yeah.
And then your mind melted.
Yeah.
And now you know the rest of the story.
So we don't.
That's funny.
Right.
So Leah, then Thomas with the art, and Lori. Lori snuck in somehow.
I've only been on for not even a year yet. I started, my first post was February of last year.
You're coming up on your birthday.
Yeah, in February, next month.
RF birthday. Sweet.
So I think I've done 10 posts total.
Cool.
And you can find them all in our top 10 list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. and then I came...
not long ago, like June?
Yeah, right? It was just this year, this last year. Well, I wrote a guest post in February or something like that. But then the podcast idea came around in the summer sometime, late spring, early summer, something like that.
I like how not even the creators of the blog, like virtually none of us know when it started or when we started or anything we've done since.
It's a living organism. It just kind of goes.
Actually, I was looking back. It was actually my wife, Kathy, wrote the first blog post.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. It was called, it was the letter that we sent, and it was called Abercrombie and What the Fitch. What the Fitch.
I think I came up with that title.
You came up with that title. It was genius. I'll give it to you.
It was way clever. It was super clever.
Way clever. And, yeah, that was the... And that's the only time I've gotten my wife to write a blog post. I wish she would write more. But anyways, yeah, hers was the first one. And then
we'll have to get her to write the left one.
She wrote one about Pants Day, too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that backfired on us. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that caused problems in our ward. But, yeah, you're right. She did write that one. Yeah.
So cute like that.
Did you guys, some of the early perma bloggers are no longer with us. Did you formally discipline them and tell them to go away, or how'd that go down?
We couldn't find a place to bury the bodies, I don't think, so we just kind of left them to rot, I think.
They're no longer with us.
You're supposed to burn them.
Oh, yeah.
Burn the bodies. They'll come back.
Well, yeah, but then the fumes get all diseased, and we inhale them, and that's just gross.
Yes. Swamp gas.
I think it's kind of just happened organically. It seems like each of them has just kind of had a reason why they needed to move on. Like, there has never been a big to-do or falling out. It's just kind of been...
Yeah, you're right.
A general apathy.
Yeah. Not even really apathy, because I know for some of them it was just a matter of changing focus in their lives, and so it just wasn't a good fit anymore. But it has never, I don't think, been a really big deal when somebody left.
No. Heidi, when she left, what happened was she was, you know, the whole garbage truck thing at the Ordained Women, the very first one. Yes, she was the woman that was there when the garbage can parked in front, and what actually happened was she ended up hijacking the dump truck, driving it out of Temple Square, and got arrested. And she doesn't write for us anymore.
Once you get a felony, then we have to kick you out.
We have to drop you.
Wait, you can't have
draw
a felony?
The line somewhere.
No.
Well, when
you
take it across the border.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, we might need to have a talk later.
Rut roll.
No, everybody, Leah, I think that was Leah that was talking.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, they die organically.
Yeah, Leo just, Melody's like, you know, I wrote, I wanted to write more this year, and I wrote more, and so I'm cool. And she's like, can I just hang on as an emeritus permablogger? I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool.
You mean she didn't commandeer a garbage truck either?
No.
Is that how you exit, I guess?
That's how I'm going out.
Yeah, exactly. I think the bar has been set.
Crap, so that's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Run into a building or something.
Light something on fire.
Okay, so Rational Faith, it's kind of a decent-sized blog as far as readership, from what I can tell. But it's only, you know, how long has Times and Seasons and By Common Consent been there? Like, 10 years or something like that. So it's kind of neat that it's become fairly popular pretty quick. How have you noticed it change over time for those that have been reading longer than I have? How have you seen the tone or the focus of Rational Faith as a whole change over time? Or have you seen it change? Has it been pretty constantly erratic?
No, it's definitely changed. In the beginning, it was kind of like this. I want to say the focus was more faithful, but it was like a faithful criticism in the approach to the church, the institution of the church, or the way that the gospel is conflated with culture. But we still do have some of those posts. I think that even just today there was a post that I felt like came from that faithful place of just, it was Jason, I don't know his last name, that wrote the post today where he talked about the Book of Mormon in a believing way, just took a different approach to it. And so we still have some of that, but we have more heretical stuff than happened at the beginning, if you follow me.
We also have
a lot of posts like what Colby brings and like Laren did a few too that are just purely doctrinal or studies or scholastic nature that's not even trying to take a side. It's just saying, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that on Rational Faith
and then
now too.
And then there's just a lot of, like Viliami's post, which I felt like was, I don't even know if I just said his name right. I don't usually say it out loud. Anyway,
Viliami.
Yeah, okay. These posts that where he announced basically that he was taking a step back from the church and going inactive, and it was a great post, and I felt like he explained himself very well. But that's not the kind of post that you would have seen in the beginning. And so things have changed. I'm not saying they're bad, but the focus is definitely different. I mean, in the beginning when I first started reading it, it was because it was these interesting gospel discussions. And a different take on what the church should be doing as an institution, but it's gotten more radical than that in the last year or so.
I think things took a big shift with Kate Kelly and John DeLynn. I think all of us are just this freaking sucks, you know.
June.
Yeah, and I think that really affected me deeply, and so I think that's I think we're all still kind of wrestling with that. Well, but that definitely changed the tone. Do you think things started changing before that, Leah?
No, I think that is an appropriate assessment. Because I know even in the posts that I have written, I've had to dial back some anger, and so I mean I understand why it's taken a bit of a new direction.
I think it might be longer than that. I started listening or reading Rational Faith like a year and a half ago during the summer. So, and what caught my attention was that it was a critical blog, and that's the headspace I was in, and that's what I needed. And there were certain authors contributing to that all of it was always said in a really respectful and really like, well, let's talk about this. But let's not be afraid to address the fact that there are some issues here, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was the first I'd really come across with that. So for me, I would say, I mean, as long as I've followed Rational Faith, it's had that edge to it. And for me, that's actually what made me like it and drew me there, because that's the headspace I was in at the time. So for me, it would be about a year and a half. And I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's gotten more critical since.
Oh, yeah, since June, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
there were a lot of posts like about modesty and how it's taught crappy.
Yes.
And that kind of critique has been there throughout, hasn't it?
Yeah. But we've gone from that to where we've had now several posts from either Corbin or V or whoever actually calling out the brethren and things like that. And that is, I mean, that's a far cry from calling out the church's modesty rhetoric, you know.
And for the Rational Faith record, that doesn't sit well with everyone. I mean, I'm cool with it, but just so everyone who's listening knows, everything on Rational Faith is not backed by everyone who writes for Rational Faith.
Yeah.
We have plenty of internal discussions of, like, I don't know if I could be on the same blog as something that's saying something like this, you know, and it goes two ways, so... And we definitely discussed that. But at the end of the day, we're all at our own liberty to contribute what we're there to contribute. And only, I mean, sometimes I know that Mike or Paul has to call somebody and be like, but in general.
But substantially less than the average Mormon blog, I feel like. I feel like that's the one of the kind of the thing that makes Rational Faith stand out is that you guys are pretty hands-off compared, at least I'd say.
Like, what are you, like, what just, are you referencing?
You know, I know that by common consent, for example, you know, they have rules, like, don't directly criticize the brethren, et cetera. And, I guess I feel like the Barker brothers have pretty loose leashes on their bloggers. They're not saying, you know, I want you guys to dial back, or sometimes we have like that, what do you call it, a DTR, determinant, where you refocus, like, let's figure out, you know, where we want to go with this blog. But, you know, compared to other blogs that I've heard of and people that I've heard that have written for other blogs, where you guys are pretty hands-off comparatively. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah. I think the title of the blog, Rational Faith, but the subtitle, I guess, Keeping Mormonism Weird, is kind of an offshoot of maybe the Barker's silliness of playfulness or not taking ourselves too seriously. I think that it came from what, Mike, keeping Portland weird, right?
Yeah, there's keep a big Portland thing. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Lori, you're like, what does that even mean? Does it mean like
I get on like, your guys' case about that at least once a quarter.
Yeah, like does that mean like polygamy? Like, is that like yeah, is that like weird underwear or is it like
And then they're like, it's our blog, Lori, be quiet. I'm like, okay.
Like, I'm working on a post, and I don't know when it's going to publish, but it's about keeping Mormonism weird. And I was listening to a podcast called On Being, and it was about this woman preacher that has tattoos everywhere. And it was kind of this different open gospel church. And she was like, okay, let's pull in everybody. And it was, you know, and they got all the, you know, peers, tattooed, whatever, people together. And then they got these, like, got the spotlight, you know, they got some news on them, and then all of a sudden these people in ties started showing up, and they're like, hey, whoa, this is our space for the weirdos here. And then she had this, like, moment where she's like, wait a second, this is for everybody. This is how we keep it weird, is we have these tattooed people, and we have these people in ties, we have these single people, we have people with families, and they're all together, and we're all worshiping. And that kind of is my vision for Rational Faith, is how we keep it weird, is we have these different people with different opinions, single people, whatever, you know, different, all different colors and cultures. We're all together, and we have this thread of Mormonism weaved all through us, and that's how we keep Mormonism weird. And that's how I see it as the blog should be. So different opinions, different ways to worship, but all together and all being respectful to each other.
Yay! Warm hugs, everybody.
Yeah.
Group hug.
And now, what that's hard, like, Paul, is just realizing that you're the only right person; everyone else is wrong. I guess that's where my conflict comes in. You know.
Here's my take on it. So first of all, it's a throwback to I live in Oregon. My wife and I, you know, were trained up in Portland, so it's kind of a throwback to where this blog came from. And also, one of the frustrating things with me for me with Mormonism as it's presented now, especially when you see it in some apologetic threads, is that they're trying to water down some of the unique and very powerful messages that Mormonism has in order to make us more palpable, I guess, to mainstream or maybe non-mainline Protestants, like evangelicals and whatnot. You know,
like what kind of things?
We want to somehow claim that we're monotheistic. We're not. We have a plurality of gods, you know. Our God is not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's none of those things. And we're trying to make him a God that would fit like the Westminster Creed or something like that. And it just isn't. It's, you know, and so that type of stuff kind of irritates me when people want to do that, you know, instead of just being able to explain it in a concise way and own our Mormonism. And at the same time, push
like Heavenly Mother as well, right?
Yeah, right. She's kind of
another thing that they normal Christians don't really talk about, they don't think of it that way.
Heavenly Mother, who's that?
Yeah.
Oh,
Mormons don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's change
sorry.
The subject.
So anyway, that's my take on keeping Mormonism weird.
Well, you're succeeding.
Word
you're
up.
Succeeding. The blog is pretty weird.
So what's your favorite post that's not your own that you've read from Rational Faith?
I liked one of Janon's posts, and she wrote one. She converted to Mormonism. And she wrote a post about her family praying together and her aunts and uncles speaking in tongues and stuff. And it was just the way she writes it's poetic. It's beautiful. I love to read it. There's something about it. Just the I'm not sure if it's the cadence of it or what it is. And then also it's just. So much of it is an experience I haven't had as a white dude, and so it's a lovely post, and it makes me think, and I really like that one. It was from a couple months back. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I dug that one too.
It was like Sunday sermon or something, or Wednesday sermon, or it was something sermon. It was a great post. The one of my favorites that is always at the top of my list is actually a series that Paul did on Revelation. I think it was Revelation Bias is what he called it. Anyway, it was like seven posts, but it was just kind of about the history of things that we view as doctrine that are mostly cultural. I mean, as I was going through and I mean, as he would post each one and I would read it, I felt like it was like a Matrix moment, like you were asking me like to pick the red pill or the blue pill, or like you can either accept what you've been told all your life is true and right, or you can stop and think about why it is you think drinking coffee is so bad and realize that it actually doesn't have anything to do with anything. It was just a great series. It was a good thinker. That made me think a lot.
Thanks. Those are kind of like the first things that I started writing on. It was kind of the way I kind of dealt with my faith crisis was when I was going through and writing those. I was just trying to think in my mind how can this be, and how do I deal with this, and so that's how I came to the conclusion of, you know, everything has this human touch to it, and so some are touched more than others. That sounds weird.
some of them are just totally human and not some really totally, at all.
Exactly.
That's the part you.
Yeah, and the title of that series, wasn't it kind of a making fun of Fox News a little bit?
Yeah, it was like Human Bias, Fair and Balanced or something like that. I forget what it was called. And then I would say like the Word of Wisdom. And that's when I went like Book of Mormon, Word of Wisdom, Book of Abraham. And I kind of went like almost all through everything that I was going through at the time. And so... Yeah.
I think that's why I identified with it, because those at the time were all of my big issues as I was starting to really come to grips with church history.
And the other thing, first, Janon's post I was talking about earlier was A Circle Unbroken. But Paul Barker, I think he's the only person more obsessed with people's underwear than the church is.
Yeah, he's got a series of garments.
Yeah,
but they're actually pretty useful.
Well, I wrote that part of the post was the temple series, and and so it kind of went through the history, and I kind of touched upon the garments, and then I was like, okay, this is really interesting, and so I of course then I went off and then I created a website, you know, solely based on garments. Now and anyway,
it pops up every time I look up LDS Church on Google Image, like these men and a woman wearing their garments or whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Paul wearing a wig, and I'm the dude.
I knew it. I knew I recognized it.
Not me. Not me. And it was just like three posts, maybe four posts on people's underwears.
Was that? Did you read Devery's book about the development of the temple? Because he talks about
yeah. So, I have the book, but it's a really tough read. Just because it's like notes and things like that. So it's more of a reference book. No one like sit down and read. It's like sitting down and reading kind of like the dictionary, which I don't think.
Devery, lots of people like your book and it's a delightful read.
Yes, it's a good reference book. Yeah, it's a very good reference book, but you just don't sit down and read from, and I'm sure he understands that too, but it's a reference book where you can go and look at notes and it's all documented there, but, a little interesting factoid about the garments was one of the general authority's wives really complained about it, and so they kind of put it up for a vote to only wear the garments in the temple, and that's it. And I think it passed, and then an apostle or prophet came back, you know, and was like, hey, we voted on this. What do you think? He's like, what? No, we can't do this. And so we could have had no garments way back when. If it wasn't for, I think, one or two people that decided to...
Prophets always mucking stuff up.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's when Kathy heard about that story, that's completely set her over the edge. Because, yeah, he comes back and he tells his wife, hey, you know, you don't need to wear your garment. And she's happy, so she goes out and buys a bunch of underwear and stuff. And then he comes back and says, nope, got changed. And when Kathy heard that, she's like, what the frick, man? It really made her angry.
That story, Devery shares that in the interview that Micah did that we re-released from Exploring Sainthood, where it's like four parts where he interviews Devery about the development of the temple, and he shares that story in there. So,
but from that temple, really good book, just plug, Mysteries of Godliness is where I got most of my material.
Oh, that's where you got it. Okay.
That's temple like the series.
It's like the shorter temple book, the thinner.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, yeah. Not that Devery's is not interesting, but anyway.
Paul, just
I love you, Devery.
Stop talking, Paul.
Well, Paul, that's when you and I met. You had done in the summer. You had done the living versus the dead, and you used the zombie movie, the Shaun of the Dead, with the little picture.
Oh, like, yeah,
the,
yeah.
And that I love those movies. From that director, and. So I read that, and then soon after, and this is my first experiences at all. I didn't even know that this whole Mormon fringe existed online. So that was one of the first things I read, and I loved it. I loved it. And then, and that was about the amount of money that the church contributes to building temples and buildings and all that, versus, and redeeming the dead versus how much they're actually spending on living human beings and those who are suffering. And it was a beautiful post. And then Corbin, very soon after that, did a post on, the spirit I think I have seen may have been the devil. And it was just such a great post. It was kind of taking on, Nephi killing Laban, and his whole take on it was that it was a horrible choice on Nephi's part, and a prideful one, and a shortly thought one, and that it actually, because he made that choice, it actually like reappears throughout the rest of the book and is ultimately like the damnation of the Nephites and stuff. And that was my first time anyone had ever talked about the scriptures in a nuanced, like that it's even a possibility that a prophet may have made a mistake, or that there was another way it could have gone, or, and he also quoted Milton in that. And he quoted Milton. And also, I think it was Hugo in it, Victor Hugo. And I was like, these are all of my favorite things in one spot. So that was Corbin, and I loved that. And then I started following more Rational Faith, and then I kept seeing typos and stuff everywhere. And then I found Paul online, and I was like, hey, awesome post today. So Michael wrote tenants instead of tenets. Did you know that? Because you should change that. And I was like just a random girl on Facebook being like, hey. But Paul and I hit it off. We were friends, and I really like. And that's when he was writing the garments post, and he shot me over, this is what I'm thinking of writing. What do you think? And then we kind of went back and forth there. And then, yeah, for like a month, I we just chatted and I like sent suggestions or, you know, and then all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, do you write? Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, I do. And I just had like my own personal blog at that point. But yeah, so those were the garment posts, a couple of Corbin posts, and Jared Mooney and Jeffrey, they had a few right in that pocket of time that I was like, oh, these are all my favorite things. Yay.
I have a few. I'm not very good at picking one. I like.
Well, Lori isn't either.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
just
has.
Like five.
It's okay. I like anytime Paul or Mike or Jonathan, I like when you talk about your family. I think a lot of us have like that whole thing with the real and the ideal, and that the church sort of presents this very ideal sort of family, but it's true that all families are just sort of screwed up and we all have issues, and part of sort of being happy in life is coming to terms with those issues. And so like the wingtip shoes one, I really like.
That was a fabulous
quote. I think Michael wrote. I loved it because, I don't know, just thinking about my own family, my own experience, and just sort of the juxtaposition between church history or personal history, all, you know, just the whole conflict between real and ideal. There was one that I really liked that was written by, and I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, Melissa Inouye. Is that how you say your name?
In a way.
Called A Tale of Two Chapels. I think that it was in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They built this chapel, and they kind of had the plans for a chapel like you would see in Utah, or, you know, it was sort of like in SimCity, you know, when you click on the city and then you drop and drag it, and then it's like the exact same building over and over again. Yeah, it was kind of like that, except they didn't realize that the toilets didn't have running water, and nobody uses the basketball court because people play soccer, not basketball. And then just how the saints there sort of reappropriated the chapel, kind of made it their own. I thought that was a really cool metaphor, once again, about not just the church adapting to worldwide conditions, but us sort of adapting to, our own changes, sort of taking the gospel and reappropriating it in our own lives. If that makes sense. Oh, that buzzer must mean that I should stop talking.
One of my favorite posts is probably the biggest post that went on Rational Face. It was a good friend of mine, and it was like, it was called, "So When Are You Gonna Have Kids?" And it just kind of opened my mind of how people have these different pains in their life, and my joy could be someone else's hurt. As far as, and the post was by far our biggest as far as being read. No one's going to touch it ever.
I've tried. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. I mean, it got over 100,000 hits. It's just crazy how many people have read that. And that's one of the ones that went viral. But just kind of made me realize that I need to be more sensitive to other people's pain. And my joy could be essentially be someone else's pain, you know. And I remember.
Yeah, you really do need to be more sensitive, man.
Yeah. But that was one of my favorites, and as far as our readership goes, that one went off the charts. By far the biggest that's ever been posted.
There's a lot of really fun posts, but do you see Rational Face continuing on just the way it is? Do you see it lasting for a while and then kind of biting the dust? Or do you see it focusing on a particular, you know, coming a little bit more focused in instead of more erratic?
Yeah. I'd say 6 more months and that's it.
Okay. Is that
on the going to other, usher in the millennium?
Is that the other Mayan calendar?
Yeah. I see it as long as as long as we're giving people the language to help them out through what they're going through. I think it's going to be helpful. As soon as we stop doing that, I think that, and that's where we need to readjust. But as long as we're helping people out and extending that hand to say, here's an issue, here's some language that you can use to help deal with this issue or help your family with this issue. But as long as we're giving people that language, I feel very good participating in the blog.
Can I say something really cool? Oh, sorry, Lori.
No, you're fine.
That I really like about the Barkers and Rational Faiths in general. I love your guys' projects. I think that's... I hope as the blog continues and as issues pop up and your conscience kind of... our conscience kind of collectively weighs on us, like the RM project or the, you know, the ally badges or the family first weddings. I think that stuff is really cool and a really great way to sort of help change minds and hearts, I guess. So I hope to, you know, and then the being able to sort of rally behind a cause like the Liahona Children's Fund. I thought that was a really cool sort of example of solidarity, utilizing, you know, our position to affect good change. So I guess I'd hope to see stuff like that continue to happen.
Definitely. I am. I was going to say that the thing that I think will help Rational Faiths maintain a readership and a rightful place, I don't know if there's even a rightful place in the Bloggernacle, but is keeping an evenly balanced amount of positive, negative, faithful, faith crisis. Like, because I've even noticed, and Leah brought it up, and I think in our Rational Faith group when we discuss things like the tone, if we start coming across, if more posts are more critical than they are supportive, then we'll totally fall into that hole of only reaching a very small segment of people who, no matter, I don't know, it's kind of rough. You really have to keep the balance. And that's what works with Rational Faiths is we have Brian Hales come on and talk about polygamy. And then we have Jeremy Reynolds come on and talk about polygamy. And they both get an equal platform to discuss a faithful or, a more critical view of the church. And if Rational Faiths can't keep that balance, then we'll just lose people completely, I think. And I have to be very mindful of that when I write, to always try to keep it in a place that it's accessible to all types of readers, I suppose. So, yeah, that's one thing I do worry about with Rational Faiths is we've gone there, quote unquote, those are my air quotes. The blog and some writers have gone there more than other blogs might have. And the second that lots of readers, when they see something really negative about the church, if they see it one time, they'll never come back. Or even the fact we have those LGBT, like the ally patches and stuff. Some people, multiple people have told me they would love to share my blog post, but they can't because the second they send it to their aunt and their aunt sees the LGBT ally thing on the side, she'll know it's not a trustworthy blog. And, you know, just things like that. So it's really hard. Like, obviously you can't cater to everyone, but I think it's just really important. And I think we do that and we have so many voices, but keeping it on the... a nice balance of critical and faith affirming. That's what'll do us best.
Yeah, you know,
word.
As, you know, Paul and I talk daily on the phone about stuff, and kind of our vision is, so if you have the far right would be like the there's a Facebook group called Mormon Discussions, which is, it's just horrible, but it's very, very far right leaning. And then if you have
they
the other
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul and I left the group because I just you couldn't have a reasonable discussion there. It was absurd.
No.
So you have them. That's where Lauren Blood hangs out. Anyways, so you have there. And then the other side, you have, like, the VIP lounge, I guess, would be the flip side of that. And so where Paul and I try to keep things is just to the right of the middle of those two extremes, always trying to fall to the side of faith, even if we're being critical or angry at the church. And because I what you want to do is you want to develop allies instead of enemies. And so that's why it's like you pointed out, Lori, it's a difficult walk to do, because you want to get the faithful in so you can discuss some of these problematic issues and give them a different tool or different ways to look at it. But if you're being overly aggressive, or if they see an ally patch, you know, they're one and done. And that's why I aggressively try to seek out more conservative, I guess what we would call more conservative voices, like Brian Hales. You know, we email each other back and forth, or his wife has written for us. And what's his name? He does Book of Mormon Mayan stuff. That's escaping me right now. John DeLynn had him on a podcast back in the day. Anyways, that's why we've had him on there, because I actively go look for those people and ask them to write for us, to kind of always just keep it to the right just a little bit, as long as it's somewhat reasonable. You know, I'm never going to ask Lauren Blood to write for us because the guy's a freaking idiot, you know. And do so
it.
should I do it? Yeah, that'd be the worst idea ever. But it is hard, and but I think the beauty of the blog is the orchestra that, you know, that comes from all the different voices, and I for one am very happy with the different voices, because in our little community of almost 30 permabloggers that we have now, I hope that it shows that people that have left the church, people that are have more conservative views for the church, that we all actually can get along and respect each other, even though we might really, really disagree with each other, that we can, that it can be done. Now, granted, it's a small community with all those permabloggers. It's a private page, but I think that we've proven that things like that can be done if you know, regardless of where you are on the faith, on the faith spectrum. And the other goal, go ahead.
No, I was just saying having that spectrum is what keeps us from falling into that echo chamber effect. That, I mean, there are tons of things that I'm like, ooh, I could write a killer post about that. And then I really have to think, like, who am I writing that for? Is it to pat myself on the back for explaining something so well, or is it to actually help people? Because writing for your echo chamber of where everyone will just cheer for you, it's completely pointless. Like, I always try to write in a way that that could be accessible to people who are fully believing, who are critical, who have left. And I think that when we write like that, it makes you put yourself in the other person's shoes and think of how they would think. And then all of a sudden, that thing isn't nearly as offensive anymore. And then all of a sudden, that's when my best, like, headspace goes for writing, is when I can really try to consider how many people could this speak to, and how level-headed could I make it and still, you know, speak what's important to me in the piece. And I think Rational Faith does that across the board with having so many different voices. Then we keep, you know, a much more diverse readership, I hope, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a, like, when I'm reading some of the other posts that I don't agree with, like, I don't know, like, if I'm reading Brian Hales about talking about polygamy and I'm just like, you know, this guy's daydreaming or whatever, like, I can take a step back and be like, there are a lot of people who identify with this, and that is okay, and later on, you know, somebody else is going to write about this and I'm going to identify with it more, and it's just kind of great. We have this space where we can all share that. I guess I'm just echoing what Lori just said.
Well, no matter what, even in like Brian Hales' approach and posts and stuff, I'll always learn something. You know, that doesn't mean I agree with the overall post or want to join the fan club.
I can always learn something. If nothing else, I can learn how other people are seeing this issue so that I can understand, why they believe something different happens than what I believe. And I think that we can all approach the gospel that way and just try to understand why people believe something else.
Yeah, and to Lori's earlier point, I think all of us, because we do write publicly. That does require, whether we want to admit it or not, it does require a little bit of an ego on our part. And so, And so I completely agree with Lori. You got to check yourself because if you're just writing it to get the pats on the back, I mean, that's a vicious circle. You know, it's almost like, you know, you end up always craving that attention, and it can kill you. But if you kind of step back, like you said, Leah, and you, Lori, step back and kind of, is this really the best approach? Am I really going to help someone with this post? It kind of, I think it's healthier.
Yeah. Well, and
for sure.
We joked about having clickbaity posts, but honestly, I hope that is just a place we never go because that is very self-serving. I'm glad that we are not all overly concerned with making things go viral. Of course, maybe I'm just saying that because nothing of mine ever goes viral, but. But I'm glad that is not like our main focus because I think it keeps us having an honest conversation.
There was one thing though in seriousness, Paul and I have discussed regarding the blog, and I'm not sure how to do it. We want it to be less as the Barker's blog and just as a blog. And so, like when we. You know, Gerilyn Poole made a funny meme where it was spam. It was a spam can, but she put the name Barker on it. and so, you know, when a post goes up, Paul and I posted on the different Facebook groups. And one of the reasons we asked the perma bloggers to help out with that is because Paul and I want to become like kind of not be seen as the blog. We want the blog to be its own thing. Like when I think of By Common Consent, I don't think Christine Hagelin. I mean, I know she writes for it, but she's not immediately what comes to mind. It's by common consent, you know. And I think the success of the blog will be, you know, when people perceive Rational Face as Rational Face and not as Mike and Paul Barker's blog.
So this is really kind of cool getting to know. Well, I guess talking about the Rational Face and how it's become what it is and what's going on. But the real question is, when are we going to become the most powerful force in the world? And what do we need to do that?
If the Christian rapture is true, they'll take everybody else. And so by default, we'll become the most powerful.
The most powerful of the residue.
Right, exactly, the residue.
It'd be like Left Behind.
Rationally unresurrected.
The best tasting leftovers. There you go. Well, it's been fun, guys.
Bye, friend.
Bye.
Bye.
Sleep well, Goodbye. Leah.
Goodbye, oh, Lauren Blood. I love you.
Immediately. I am going to immediately go to sleep. We're done.
From the, you know, it's always fun chatting with the different bloggers. Usually it's on a Facebook chat or something.
Yeah, you don't get that, like, real conversation very often, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fun to get the real conversation. But they were focused on the blog. And the real important thing here is the podcast, I think.
It's us. Let's do some real navel gazing here.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. Let's do the real deal here. So what do you think? So the podcast, I'll tell the podcast story. I did one guest post for Rational Faiths in February, and I think I mentioned that. And then I had another idea where I'm a podcast junkie, yeah. But not necessarily all the Mormon ones. But stuff like Radiolab, Freakonomics, On Being, there's a TED Radio Hour one. What's the other one I like that's about money? Planet Money. All of those, and This American Life. I listen to all those almost every week, every time they come out. And I would have these ideas for, like, either discussions on how this could help Mormonism or how we do this in Mormonism, just like everywhere else, you know. I'd have these thoughts, and so I brought it up to Mike. How about I, you know, is it possible to come on like every month and have like a review of podcasts and interesting ideas? or something like that. And he's like, we don't really have any room for a regular spot in the blog, but you could do a podcast. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, I guess so. And I thought about it. I'm like, sure, why not? And so so that's kind of where that started. And I had that thing where it's like the 101s out of the best podcasts, and where we take either TED Talks or podcasts or whatever and talk about the theme. And there's been several episodes on that about parenting, about moral psychology. We did one about charity recently. Can't remember what the other ones are. Anyway, so that's kind of how I started. And then it was like a month into it or so, then they're like, and we're bringing Brian Kissel onto the podcast too. And I'm like, what? What?
You know, Brian, just, what are you doing? Yeah. Stealing my thunder. Yeah.
Stealing my thunder. So how in the world did you sneak into here?
Yeah. So I started in podcasting, with ES, which was, what was that? Like a year or two ago, where, Exploring Sainthood was a project that began that kind of split from A Thoughtful Faith, and they were looking for help. And I volunteered and said, hey, I'd be willing to try, you know, I don't know what I'm doing at all, but I'd be willing to kind of, learn and try to figure out some of these things and be able to help in some way. So Micah brought me on, and then a couple weeks later, Micah decided that he wasn't able to participate on the podcast anymore, so it kind of split off, and then they ended up offering me to do it. So I've podcasted with Exploring Sainthood for a while, and then it got to this point where there were some website problems and just some other things, and what ended up happening was there was kind of from one individual a decision that they wouldn't really want a podcast at that particular time. So so that ended up having me leave. And at that point, Michael and Paul heard about that, and they said, well, if you want to keep podcasting, you could come and help us with the Rational Faiths one. And I just thought that was such a generous and awesome opportunity. I was really grateful, because I was planning on just kind of stopping, but it was a chance to be able to keep continuing to have some of these conversations. So that's kind of the way I kind of ended up at Rational Faiths.
So that's an interesting story where, you know, how you ended up where you are and some of the other people you've been working with. But what I'm wondering, what have we been doing? We've been like, in some ways we've been doing sort of a Mormon Matters thing, like what is scripture? And then we've been trying to capture some of the news, you know, when the disciplinary announcements came out in June, we talked about that right away. And when the Meet the Mormons movie came out, we responded to that pretty quickly and other things like that. And then we've tried doing some other, a little bit different topics that aren't necessarily Mormon centric, like the parenting and the charity and that sort of thing. So where do you see us going? Or I don't know. How do you envision the podcast?
No, I think that's a really good point. I think both of us are podcast junkies, right? And I like a lot of I listen to a really large variety of podcasts as well. But I'm more focused, at least for a long time, it was specifically on Mormon podcasts. And I have a list of like 30 that I listen to almost every single one. Just because I have a lot of time to listen.
That's a little bit of a confession.
I have a problem. well, see, so we're, and it's just, I'm super busy like all the time. And we were just talking in the interview, you're talking about the Rational Faiths blog. There is so much incredible content out there, and on the Rational Faiths blog is just amazing. I think there's so many great perspectives and thoughts, but like I don't have a lot of time to be reading a lot of blogs. You know, I do read a lot, but they're more very specific. Often they're more technical, and I just say I only have so much time to read. I have to do specific things, and yeah. But it, as long as something's on an audiobook or on a podcast, then I can listen to it really easily. So I just listen to a lot of different content. So I think maybe there might be kind of a crazy eclectic approach, you know, as we're doing news and we're doing this and this and this. It could be from both of us hearing all of these different ideas, and it's like, well, that would be cool to do. That would be cool to do. I also listen to a lot of podcasts that are specifically about podcasting, and they often talk about like what are you about? Like, what is your, I can't remember what the word is. What's your trademark? No, who are you in like a sentence? How do you describe what your podcast or your project is? And I don't know. I think it's kind of, I think that's what we're trying to figure out. And that's why I think this conversation with the blog is so valuable as we're kind of all trying to work together, but we're also pursuing things that are interesting to you guys who are listening as well, because I think there's differing people are going to be drawn to differing things. But so I don't know. I think we're trying to figure that out. How would you kind of respond to that? What are we like in a sentence? What makes us unique?
Well, the first thing I would say is we talk about Mormonism.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
We keep Mormonism weird.
Yeah, we're the stewards. Givens talks about Mormons being the stewards of the temple, and we're the stewards of the weirdness here. So that's how I would say that. But I think, like you were saying, I think we're in process, and we're kind of experimenting and figuring things out. I don't think we've really defined what it is. But one thing is, I would like input from our regular listeners, and from what I can tell, our regular listeners are an elite group because there's not a lot of them.
Well, there's a fair amount of people.
There's more than a couple dozen. Like there's several hundred, from what I can gather. Unless we talk about sex, and then it goes up to over 1,000.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what the listeners are thinking and what they're wanting. Are they wanting more stuff like Mormon Matters? Are they wanting more stuff like interviews, like Mormon Stories, where you get to know some sort of figure? Or, you know, is there something that's lacking, like more of an entertainment, more of a highly produced type podcast that talks about Mormon stuff, which is an idea that we've batted around a little bit.
Let's be a little bit introspective and just kind of what kind of stuff do you want? Because like when I think about that stuff, there already is a Mormon Matters, you know, and there already is some of these interviews. So in trying to figure out what our place is, because one of the things that I will argue with, and I have talked about on the podcast, when those people are saying, oh, there's already enough Mormon podcasts, we don't need any more. Of course we need more. You know, we don't necessarily need the exact same things, but me and you both have our own unique perspectives. And I think there are interesting avenues that we can take that are interesting to us. Like for me, I've really enjoyed your kind of this series, the beginning of this series of science, and I just think that there are so many new things that we can do, and as we're kind of experimenting and learning and growing, but yeah, absolutely. I think listeners, what are you interested in? What if you could have? What is a podcast that you would love to have? Or episodes or content that has never been talked about. You know, I think that'd be interesting to think about and kind of defining who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so get back to us, listeners, and put some comments on the blog, or I guess that's the only way to do it. Put some comments on the blog. You know, what are you enjoying? What do you think? But for next week, we're going to have another episode with Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife talking about questions about sex. So that will get some good hits.
Yeah.
that'll get everyone's ears perked up.
Yeah.
So that'll be next week.
absolutely. But I do want to say, for all of you who are listening, thank you so much for listening, and always feel free to kind of share your own thoughts, what you are interested in, and let's kind of make this a project that we're all doing together. So
yes, absolutely. It's tons of fun to do. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's good to know that other people are actually listening, and it'd be fun to make it a real group project. So
yeah, totally.
Let us know.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.